Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I would like to ask you to stay tuned. It's going to be about 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, a whole lot of education, and you know, we do this with no manipulation. We're not trying to hustle you. We're not trying to get you to join anything. We're definitely not trying to get you to send us any money or anything like that. This show is not about selling anything. It's simply about giving you some accurate information. Information that I pray will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If you're interested. Yeah, it's a show about the Bible. That's correct. And it's a show that's dedicated to those who have an interest in the Bible. And to tell you the truth, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for a few good men. I'm looking for a few Christians and men and women who want to learn God's Word and do it the right way. It's easy to find people that just want to play the game, play church, do it the wrong way. And sometimes it just gets frustrating. I've been on the road quite a bit lately, and I have seen a lot of things going on. And the number one thing that I see constantly is people who have good intentions, good Christian people who do love God, but doing all the right things in all the wrong ways. And I keep going back to that verse of Scripture in my head. I guess the Lord just keeps reminding me of it. In Jeremiah, where he said, I'm looking for those people who know me and understand me. And my contention has always been that there's a tremendous difference between knowing God and understanding God. And it's possible today that could be a description of your life. Yes, you know God. You know Him. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you don't understand the God that you know. I mean, I could give you just a little brief test if you wanted to find out. For example, could you tell me what is the essence of God? And what is the essence of God? You say, well, why should I know that? Well, everyone should know that that's a Christian, because without understanding the essence of God, you don't understand eternal security. You don't understand a faith rest drill. You don't understand the sovereignty and the righteousness of God. You don't understand His love for you. I mean, so when you talk about learning something, Jesus Christ our Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn. The Bible has got those words, learn. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Learn, study. There's another one, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You can't grow if you don't learn and study. And why should you learn and study? So you don't do the right thing in the wrong way. God doesn't want us to do all the right things in all the wrong ways. He wants us to get it straight and do it accurately. And, you know, that's the thing that frustrates me. The essence of God... Well, He's sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, immutability, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, veracity, eternal life. I mean, I could go on. These are all part of the essence of God. And if you don't even understand that, I mean, gee whiz, how do you love a God you don't know? How could you possibly love a God you don't know? Unless it's just all emotional. Because the Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. And he says, my mandates are not hard. It's nothing complicated. It's just that people don't want to take the time to study, learn, or grow. Too busy, got other things going on. And this is where Satan wins the war. Because too many Christians get distracted. And distractions come. I can promise you one thing. You can write this down. As soon as you get serious about beginning a consistent routine of study and learning God's Word in your life, you will find that you will have more distractions than you've ever had before. If you're in business, you'll have everything in the world pop up. If you're a parent and you got children, everything in the world will come up. Anything to keep you from listening to the teaching of the Word of God. And I have distractions. In my radio room where I record these shows, there's a business next door to me. And for the last three or four times that I began to teach, up comes a tractor driving right outside the wall. And he's got to do something on that tractor. So I got to quit recording because I can't record with tractor noises behind the wall, even though I'm in a semi-soundproof room. Satan knows what he's doing, folks. He knows how to distract me. He knows how to distract you. And he knows how to discourage all of us. So listen. This Christian life, let's get this straight. It's a supernatural life. You can't live it in the energy of the flesh. It's a supernatural life. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, made that very plain and very clear. In John chapter 14, verse 25, he said, "These things I have spoken with you, but being present with you. But the Comforter," this is the Holy Spirit he's speaking about, verse 26, "the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach, there we go again, learn, study, grow, now we have the word teach, he shall teach you all things," and then he's going to help you remember it, listen to the next word, "and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said unto you." Now listen carefully. How can you remember something you didn't learn? It's impossible. You can't remember something you haven't learned. And so if you don't learn the mechanics of God's plan, how can the Holy Spirit effectively recall anything in your brain? What's the first thing you need to learn? Well, John 16, 13, "When he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth." So first of all, a believer who is under control of God, the Holy Spirit, will be led to truth. Jesus said again in John 16, "It's expedient for me to go away," verse 7, "because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you." Now keep this in mind. The Comforter, or the Holy Spirit, comes to live in every Christian. Jesus Christ, when he was here in the flesh, could only be with one group of men at a time. And now he's in heaven, it's a different story. He was God, and he is man in one body forever. But God the Holy Spirit can come and live inside of me, and God the Holy Spirit can come and live inside of you. This is the way God multiplies. This is the way God works. And so if I have God the Holy Spirit living inside of me, what is the purpose of that? So that he could what? Teach me something. He is going to teach me something. That's exactly when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you something. Now, what's the first thing he's supposed to teach me? Well, I need to learn how to let him control my life. I cannot live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. I call this problem-solving device number one and problem-solving device number two. The first problem every Christian has is we're going to commit sin. Why do we commit sin? Because we have a sinful nature. And the old man within us is against God's word, never has obeyed God, never will. The Bible's clear about that. You can read what Paul said about his battle with the flesh in Romans 7:15, where he said, "I want to do what's right, but it's inevitable that I wind up doing what's wrong, and it's sin in me." You have a sin nature, and I've been around some really sweet, nice people that act like they don't have a sin nature. You just about can't see it. Oh, but they have it. The right spark just hasn't been lit. But when that spark gets lit, that sin nature comes out. A lot of people have different sin nature patterns, different sin nature trends. So don't you ever let some self-righteous, goody-two-shoes religious weirdo look down his nose at you and say, "I'm a better Christian than you because I don't do that." That's baloney. We all sin. All of us do. We don't all sin in the same way. We don't all sin in the same area. Some people lust for drugs. Some people lust for sex. Some people lust for money. Some people lust for power. Some people lust for attention. They're different lust patterns. And when the flesh is in control of your life, you're going to follow your lust pattern. But if the Holy Spirit is in control of your life, then you can override that lust pattern. Because the Bible says if we'll walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so how do we do that? Problem-solving device number one, rebound. You as a Christian will sin. God knew that. When you got saved, when you accepted Christ, He didn't purge you of a sin nature. Now, He will do that when you go to heaven. When this body gets old and deteriorates and falls apart, you will get a new body in heaven. And here's the wonderful thing about the new body. No old sin nature. That's right. You will not have a sinful nature. In heaven, you will have a body like Jesus Christ. And our Lord did not have a sinful nature. He was born of a virgin. We're related to Adam. He's not. Now, as long as we're here, we have a sin nature. And when we sin, our Father made provision for that. The Bible clearly says, if we will confess our sin, then He is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all of our wrongdoing. That means that when I'm aware that I've committed a sin, I can do one or two things. I can admit the sin to God, or I can ignore it and keep doing more sins. If I ignore it and keep doing more sins, then I'm just letting the old sin nature get deeper and deeper entrenched in my life. And I will put myself under discipline from God, as per Hebrews chapter 12. Those whom God loves, He disciplines. And sometimes He chastens us with a whip, scourges us. But if I will admit my sin, if I'll go to God and admit my sin, then He said He would be faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's even the ones you don't remember. And so this is the secret to being a Spirit-filled Christian. You were indwelled by God the Holy Spirit when you got saved. And you were filled with God the Holy Spirit when you got saved. But when you committed your first sin, you didn't lose the indwelling, you lost the filling. And if you confess that sin to God, then you regain the filling. See, the Bible says that God is light. And if we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we're lying. We're not telling the truth. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. This is coming out of 1 John where I'm reading to you. And I'm going to turn over here and let you hear it so you get a grip on this. If we say we have fellowship with Him, that's a Christian saying, the Holy Spirit's in control of my life. I'm having fellowship with God. Okay. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, that means you got unconfessed sin in your life. Then we lie and do not tell the truth. In other words, you're not admitting the truth. But if we will walk in the light, that's in fellowship with God, as He is in the light, then we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we will confess our sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even the ones we don't remember. That's how you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you go to God and admit a known sin, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have quenched the Spirit, that means you have sinned. If you have grieved the Spirit, that means you've sinned and you haven't confessed the sin. So you can quench God's Spirit by sinning. What does that mean? It means your Christian life shuts down the minute you sin. The minute you sin, the old sin nature takes over. The minute you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit. The minute you sin, you stop learning anything, because it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach you. How can he teach you if he's quenched? How can he teach you if he's grieved? And so if you go to church with known sin in your life, what do you think you're getting out of it? He can't do his job. You can go and listen to the pastor, and you can say, I'm worshiping God. No, you're not. You have grieved the Holy Spirit by your sin. You have quenched the Holy Spirit by your sin. And the only thing you're doing is showing up in church and putting on a good show. That's all you're doing. Let me show you how easy this is to have it happen. Sunday morning is when the wars break out around the house, isn't it? And so Sunday morning, you're trying to get ready to go to church, and you and the wife get in an argument, or you and the husband get in an argument, or you and the kids get in a shouting match. And everybody's out of fellowship. You're mad at the wife, the wife's mad at you, you're mad at the kids are mad at you, but you go to church, and nobody even confesses their sin to God. And they go to Sunday school, you go to choir, you sing in the choir, with you still got that sin. You haven't admitted, I got angry at my husband this morning. I got angry at my wife this morning. Listen, those are sins. Ephesians 4, 30 and 31 covers that. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving. You didn't forgive anything. You flew off the handle. You can't live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. I don't care how you look on Sunday, how dressed up you are, that's not living the Christian life. Unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you do not have the power to live the Christian life. It's a supernatural life, and it demands two supernatural powers. It demands the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and it demands the power of the living Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, the Bible says, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thought and intents of the heart. The Word of God is a supernatural gift from God. The Bible, it's supernatural, yes. It is the Word of God. It's not a literary book. If you understand theopneustos in the Greek New Testament, you'll understand that word means that the writers were writers who were breathed upon by God. God breathed into them what they should say. They used their own personality. They used their own linguistic ability. But what they wrote came from God the Holy Spirit. And a group of disciples, some being goofy fishermen, turned the world upside down. I mean, you have a New Testament, don't you? Who do you think wrote that? These men that followed Jesus Christ, these men that became wanted criminals, these men who watched the Savior be killed. The Savior became criminal number one, wanted on the number one list. And he tried to tell them, they're going to kill me. They didn't believe it, but it happened. But look what they did. And look what you could do if you would just learn something. Do you know the last year of our Lord's life, excuse me, he spent a lot of that time trying to teach these disciples. And this is why the Holy Spirit had to come, because they couldn't learn anything on their own. The only way they would be able to learn the plan, learn the program, understand it, is that God, the Holy Spirit, reveal it to them. And then God called the Apostle Paul, and Paul revealed the great mystery doctrine of the church. And that mystery doctrine is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that Jesus Christ would come and live inside of you. There would be a body of believers called the church. That's you. You can't live the Christian life in the flesh. And what is so disappointing, as I travel and visit churches, as I travel and visit Christian schools, is people don't teach this. Recently, I was in a school, and I was in a class where they were teaching the biblical science of hermeneutics. This subject needs to be taught. Before you can understand the hermeneutics of the Bible, You got to understand who wrote the Bible. God the Holy Spirit inspired the men to write it. And you got to understand that if they had to be filled with the Holy Spirit to write it, then obviously you must be filled with the Holy Spirit to understand it. So nobody says, now before we start trying to figure out why they said what they said, let's make sure that there's no unconfessed sin in our life. The pastors don't even do it on Sunday morning. If you're here to worship God, if you're here to learn God's Word, before we do anything, we're going to have a moment of silent prayer. And you look into your life. You look and see, is there any unconfessed sin there? Because if there is, get it out and tell God right now. Go to God in prayer and tell Him what it is. Nobody ever does that. Nobody does that in choir room before the choir goes out. No choir director says, let's have prayer and let's look inside privately to make sure there's no sin there. Are you jealous of somebody that got the lead part and you wanted to sing it? See, you can go out there and sing all you want to in the flesh, and all of it turns out to be wood, hay, and stubble in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All that stuff you do for God that you think is so pleasing to God is wood, hay, and stubble. 1 Corinthians 3. Look at it for yourself. There's going to be a great fire in heaven. It's going to try every man's work of what sort it was. Not your sin, your work. If your work endures, that's that gold, silver, and precious stones. If your work is burned up, wood, hay, and stubble. Guess what the difference is? The gold, silver, and precious stones are things you did while you were filled by the Holy Spirit. The wood, hay, and stubble are things you did under the energy of the flesh. And it could have been the same thing. It could have been singing in the choir. Could have been going to church. If you go to church under the filling of the Holy Spirit, hey, that's rewardable. If you go to church under the control of your old sin nature, that's going to be burned up. You can't live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. This is why Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. This is why Paul the Apostle wrote about it. This is why the Word of God is clear. The only way you can live the Christian life is to learn how to let the Holy Spirit control you. Now, let me give you a shocking revelation. If you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you're spiritual. You hear me? So if there is, to the best of your ability, in other words, you've had a little prayer, you've looked inside and you've said, all right, Father, yes, I did. I know that and you confess it. I lied to my wife. I lied to my husband. I lied to my boss. Whatever it is, if you confess it, then God will cleanse you from it. And even from the others you don't remember. Okay? And if you do that, you're spiritual. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're spiritual. Your pastor cannot be any more spiritual than you. If he's filled with the Spirit, and you're filled with the Spirit, you're both spiritual. But now there's another word called mature. Spirituality is related to the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. Maturity is related to the content of the Word of God in your soul. The reason you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to learn the Word of God and store it in your soul so that it becomes wisdom. You begin to acquire the mind of Christ. You get a biblical inventory of ideas from the Bible. You begin to think differently in regards to humility and arrogance. But without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you're never going to reach maturity. Because the Holy Spirit cannot take the Bible that you read or you're taught and turn it into what the Greek word epignosis, or full knowledge we call it. The Holy Spirit can't do that if he's quenched and grieved. So you can never transfer the information. You may sit there and get it on Sunday morning from the preacher and then bust out of there and head for the restaurant, and that's about all you got. And somebody could say, what did he talk on this morning? I don't remember. Unless it was politics. You can't grow unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't glorify God unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't replicate the life of Christ unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And you certainly, certainly will never reach maturity unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible is designed by God the Father to be taught to you by God the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. He said it. And so how can he teach you anything if you've quenched him with your sin and grieved him by not confessing your sin? See, your Christian life is all out of whack. It's some little ritual where we put on some clothes and go to church and act like it's Sunday and we go through the ritual. Ritual without reality is meaningless. Ritual without reality is meaningless. If you don't understand what you're doing, then what you're doing is just wood, hay, and stubble. It's not glorifying God, and you're not on the road to maturity. And do you want to grow up? Do you want to be a Christian that can have an impact in eternity? Do you want to have a historical impact with your nation? You must learn God's word. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Since you rejected knowledge, I will reject you. What did Jeremiah say? I'm looking for people who know me and understand me. There must be knowledge before there's understanding. And there must be knowledge before there can be recall. And that's what God the Holy Spirit's job is, to help you take what is taught from the pastor, apply it into your life, and recall it at a later time. We've got this thing so fouled up today, I'm sure Satan laughs. I am sure he laughs at most of us because we are so easily duped and we miss it. It's right there in front of us. Have you missed it? Have you been operating in the energy of the flesh? Have you failed to keep short account of your sin? Have you let it get into your life and then don't deal with it for 4 or 5 days later, and then everything in between is just human good? I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning. And if you have any questions, you don't hesitate to contact me. Let me know. You can get me by email or write a letter either way, and I'll respond. But I hope this has made sense. It is my prayer that you're listening. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.